B-Pod Studios.
Today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
Lots of stuff to talk about with Josie Scott today on the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. We talk about what he's been up to the past several years, the importance of family, as well as his sobriety.
But at some point for me, that celebration became a full-time job.
Josie is going to rejoin the band, but just not in the spring for this upcoming tour.
I'm not out on the road with Saliva at this time.
He tells me about being Grammy nominated, a funny story about the song Ladies and Gentlemen, as well as a frontman that made him nervous every time he was on stage.
It made me so nervous. I was terrified to go on stage in front of this man.
And there's lots, and I do mean lots more, with Josie Scott today on the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast.
This is Talkin' Rock. Talkin' Rock. Your backstage pass to some of your favorite rock artists. Here's your host, Meltdown.
As always, a big thank you for listening to the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. I do appreciate it. It's kind of funny. It's like either feast or famine with these interviews. It's like I really haven't had much going on. Of course, we talked to Ross the Boss last week, John 5 the week before. But, I mean, you know, normally I'm doing, you know, two or three a week. Well, that's going to change starting next week. I have a lot of interviews already lined up. I think on Tuesday I'm doing three of them. But this one was sprung up on me today. Josie wanted to get on the podcast and pretty much talk about, you know, what he's been doing, what he's been up to, talk about, you know, the last 9 or 10 years away from Saliva and pretty much away from the spotlight, as well as what's going on with his return to the band. He's not on tour with the guys yet, but he does talk about it coming up here, and that's going to be happening. But he didn't want to mislead the fans thinking they were going to go see Josie Scott on this upcoming spring tour. But it's just a really great, candid conversation with Josie. I was really appreciative of all the time he gave me, and I hope you guys dig this. We start out the conversation today by talking about what he's been up to, you know, raising families and such.
Raising kids and being a grown-up.
When did that start?
Right? I think it started around 2010.
Okay. All right. There you go. So I guess, is that really what you've been up to for the past several years? I guess that's my first real question is like, you know, is that's just what you've been doing, raising a family and getting your life together?
I have. I had to, as John Lennon says, I had to get off the merry-go-round for a stipend and sort of sort myself out a little bit. I had to sober up, and I had to, just basically grow up and be, you know, a responsible husband and father. And once I did that, I couldn't be happier. You know, I've spent the last few years raising my son, Justice, who's 13, and my daughter, Jordan, who's 8, and her baby sister, Jolie, is 4 years old. And, you know, I've just been concentrating on them and being a good daddy. And but, you know, music is something that you just can't ever get over. It's like my first love, you know. I never have gotten over wanting to write music and wanting to sing, and I miss the fans so much, you know. I miss them so incredibly.
And I think I saw on your Twitter that you sobered up, now correct me if I'm wrong, in 2003, or was it after you left the band?
No, it was after I left the band.
Okay.
I was starting to sober up in 2010.
Okay.
And as I was starting to make my exit, and then after I left the band, and I was really able to just concentrate on myself and getting better and getting healthier, then I was able to really clean up my life in 2010.
Yeah, I see that you retweeted some guy's post, I guess, that he was he decided to sober up in 2003. So I like to ask this question to a lot of my rock star friends who are sober. What was like the turning point? What was the time that you said, man, I got to change?
Well, it was when my first daughter was born. I was on the road with Saliva, and my wife Kendra was pregnant, and it was coming up on the end of that pregnancy, and we knew it was a girl. I thought I was going to have another boy because I just had nothing but boys, which I adore my boys, but I just thought, I'm never going to have a girl. I got three boys and no girls, and three little stinky boys and no girls. So I finally got blessed with this little girl, and when I first got to hold her in my arms, that just changed everything for me. I knew, plus she had some complications. You know, when she was born, she spent 3 weeks in the NICU, and we didn't know if she was going to make it for a second, and that was enough to get my attention, and I was like, man, I got to stop. I got to raise my children, and I have to raise this baby girl. And, you know, I even have adult children. My son, Cody, you know, lives in Memphis, and I have a stepson named Dylan, who is a, you know, amazing metal guitarist, and have my stepdaughter, Brittany, and my adult children and my babies especially. You know, I just wanted to be present in their lives. I wanted to be, you know, I wanted to have some type of positive presence in their life. And 2010-11 was the perfect time to get that done.
Talk about the fact that not only do you inspire your kids probably with your sobriety and the way that you live your life, but complete strangers, and I see you retweeting them on Twitter and stuff.
Yeah, well, I moved after I left the band. We lived in Tennessee the whole time. You know, I'm a Memphis boy at heart, born and raised in Memphis, Tennessee. And but my wife is from Oklahoma, and we sort of relocated and came to Oklahoma, and I found out that even though I had, you know, had a drug problem, and I had had suffered from, you know, mental health issues like depression and anxiety, I found out that I could become what's called a peer recovery support guy. And so I took these classes online here in Oklahoma, and I got a license to do that, and I started working for a rehab here in Tulsa called 12 and 12. And that's just made my sobriety so much more meaningful to me, you know, because to keep it, you have to give it away. And I'm able to, you know, reach out and be able to help several different kinds of people that are struggling with, you know, anything from opioid addiction to meth addiction and alcohol addiction, all sorts of addictions. I'm able to help these people. And the fact that, you know, I was in Saliva, and they remember songs like Click Click Boom and Your Disease, and songs like Always, and they remember seeing the videos. And you know, when I'm teaching a class or whatever, I can pull up the videos on YouTube and show them during class, and they're like, whoa, that's you. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, that's got to be cool. It's got to give you a good connection to some of those guys. They may not know who you are and stuff, but at least they can see that you lived it, and now you're trying to help them get right back on the sober train as well.
Absolutely, man. absolutely.
Wow, that's so inspiring. You know, and I mean, how hard is it, or let me rephrase that, how easy is it to get caught up in that stuff when you're in a touring rock band that's successful?
Well, I mean, you know, at first, you're just celebrating. At first, you're just like, wow, you know, we did it. And, you know, when you put your first record out and you have some success, you know, it's intoxicating, and you just begin to celebrate. It starts really innocently, and, you know, you just feel like you deserve to raise a little hell, you know, and some people can, you know, some people are able to raise a little hell and go home and wake up the next day and they're fine, you know. But at some point for me, that celebration became a full-time job, and it did not pay any kind of wage, but pain and misery, and it just pulled me deeper and deeper into this dark hole. And before I knew it, I was alone, and I was, you know, terrified and on the edge of death. And you know, I just wanted to find an answer. I wanted to find a way out. And, you know, the Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous and the 12-step program was an amazing experience for me. You know, some people, it may not work for some people, but for the ones that it does work for, I feel like, as Russell Brand says, I feel like we're the lucky ones, because we have a 12-step roadmap out of hell. And it's nothing short of that, you know. It's nothing short of having someone hand you an absolute roadmap out of hell.
Now, a lot of my friends who have sobered up and stuff, they all have, like, addictive personalities. Are you addicted to anything else? Like, a lot of them, you know, they work out or they collect things or anything like that. Or do you have any other addictions? Good ones?
Dude, I'm what they call a poly addict. I am addicted to anything that feels good.
Okay.
I have to be careful. I have to be careful with anything and everything. You know, for a while, it was cars with me. You know, anything from cars to guitars, baby.
Okay.
I love it all.
So you've been out of the band for almost 10 years now, and you've been pretty quiet. You've been, like, off the radar and stuff. So outside of, like, raising your family, like, what kind of stuff have you been doing? Have you been following the music scene? Have you been going to concerts? Do you do that kind of stuff?
Oh, of course. Like I said, it's my first love. Music is my absolute first love. It, when people fondly think back on a girlfriend they had in junior high or high school or college, that's how I think of music. It's something that I never can let go of, and something that, thank God, never lets me go. And over the years, I've, you know, gone to several concerts, and I try to keep up with my friends in Breaking Benjamin and my friends in Shinedown and my friends in Korn, and, you know, go out and visit with those guys. And I love taking in a good rock show. There's nothing like that energy, you know, that gets exchanged from the audience and the fans to the band. And for once in my life, I get to be just a regular fan, you know, and I get to see what it's like to just stand in the audience and feel it blow my hair back, if you will.
Mm-hmm. So here in 2020, what is really pushing you back to get in the band, and when will you rejoin the band?
Well, that's kind of why I wanted to talk with you, is I wanted to, you know, be as authentic as I can with the fans and tell them that I love them and that I appreciate the fans and the support of the fans of Saliva's music, old and new. I'm very appreciative of everything they've ever done for any of us. And, you know, the fans are the reason that the whole reason we do this, you know, is to reach people's lives and, you know, be able to touch people with our music. And I feel like, you know, I feel like I still have something to say. And I miss that connection with the fans. What I've realized is the opposite of addiction is not sobriety. The opposite of addiction is connection. And I just missed that connection that I had with the fans so much. I mean, that's the only drug in this world that won't kill me. And if anything, it makes me even more healthy. And I just feel like I feel like I've still got work to do, and I want to write some new music, and I'm looking forward to writing and creating with Chris DeBaldo and Wayne Sweeney. You know, they're kind of the original nucleus of what Saliva had to offer, I believe, and I'm hoping to get some new music ready with them around the anniversary of Every 6 Seconds, which will be in 2021. It'll be 20 years.
Wow. Man. So, you're thinking about maybe towards the end of the year getting back with the band? Is that what I'm reading?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm going to let them do their thing. I see that they're doing this new tour, the new metal tour announcement that they just made. I just wanted to be clear with the fans because I believe that they deserve to know the truth, of course. And I've heard some things, online about people wondering if that's me coming back. And I just want to be clear that I'm not out on the road with Saliva at this time, but like I said, I'll be hopefully, you know, fingers crossed, getting back together with Wayne Sweeney, and me and Chris are like, you know, dark and light. We're a package deal. So you know, anytime that Wayne is ready, me and Chris are ready to go. And we have Tasha Jones, who's going to play drums, and we have the ex-bass player for Breaking Benjamin, Mark Klepaski, who's going to go in the studio with us and hopefully go on the road and be able to connect with the fans again.
Now, speaking of going on the road and stuff, that leads me to my next point. Of course, obviously, it's going to be different now than it was 10 years ago when you were with the band. So how much does your sobriety play in the back of your head about going on the road? Is there any fear or apprehension?
Well, I mean, you know, there's always, I wouldn't call it fear as much as I would call it concern. But I'll be taking my best friend Scott is my sober living partner, and he's going to come out there with me, and he's going to help me every step of the way. And you know, we've been best friends since back in the 90s, so he knows he knows where all the bodies are buried. You know, he knows all the secrets, and he knows every single thing there is to know about me. You know, we've been best friends for a long time, and Scott's going to be right there by my side. So I would say that I have concern more than I have fear. You know, I just want to be clear about the environment that that I need to be in, and it's simple. Stay away from the bad stuff.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, stick with the good stuff, like you were saying. But so you talk about right. You talk about new music. Do you have any ideas laid down? Anything demoed out, or are you going to go in with a clean slate?
Well, I have a million ideas. But I'm gonna single it down to two or three, and I'm thinking about just releasing a single, just a solo single to radio, and hopefully I'll have that ready. At least by the end of the year, I'll have a new song ready to come out on radio.
It's so crazy to think, 2011, when you're in the band, we are like in a completely different universe than when you left the band.
I know, that's insane.
I mean, just with technology and the new bands that are out, I mean, just, there's so much has changed.
I know. And I love all these new bands, man. Bad Wolves and Volby and all these new artists that are coming out are just incredible, smart, amazing songwriters.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Let's go back and talk a little bit about your time in Saliva back in the day. I wanted to know what your thoughts are about, you probably answered this question before, but being Grammy nominated. Talk about that.
Well, I mean, of course, it's an honor and a privilege to ever be acknowledged by the Grammy Association. And I remember specifically sitting in the audience and watching Tool on stage win an award, and then I watched as our award came up. We were nominated with Linkin Park, and I remember, I will never forget when they came over to where we were seated, and they stuck out the Chester stuck his hand out and shook my hand, and he said, I just want to wish you luck tonight. And I just thought that was so amazing and so kind and considerate for him. I didn't even think Linkin Park knew who Saliva was. And to see Chester do something so humbling and so kind was just amazing. I'll never forget it. And I thought it was BS that they didn't televise any of the rock and roll Grammys. They did it, before the show even started.
Yeah, right.
What?
Yeah. And of course, you just mentioned Chester. He's gone now,
I know. I can't believe that. And I remember the first time I went through rehab in 2003 out in Los Angeles. I went through an organization out there called Promises, and it was a wonderful, wonderful place. And I went to a couple of meetings out there in Los Angeles, and I ran into Chris Cornell at those meetings. And man, it was just such an honor to get to meet him. And again, I had no clue that he had any inkling that Saliva was even a blip on the old radar, but he was so gracious and so kind and always so nice. And it was just, I just cherished those moments where I got to spend any amount of time with those guys. They were amazing artists, and just their spirit. They're the kind of guys that you feel them when they walk in the room, and I just have nothing but admiration and love, and I'm so thankful that God gave me a special moment with the both of them before we lost them.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I always remember about Saliva is, ladies and gentlemen, because I was at that WrestleMania, which was right here in Detroit, and I've talked to Wayne about this before, but talk about the WWE using your song in one of the WrestleManias.
Yeah, man, that is a moment that I often pull up on the old YouTube, and I'll show it to my homeboys and to, you know, people coming through 12 and 12 rehabilitation center. You know, it especially the guys that are wrestling fans. And, you know, I've always been a huge wrestling fan. You know, coming from Memphis, Tennessee, and I grew up with Memphis wrestling, you know, and Jerry Lawler.
Yeah.
I got to grow up literally as a kid watching Memphis wrestling. So to get to do something with the WWE was just, you know, the top of the ladder for us, you know. And to see Chris Jericho and all his successful Fozzy is just amazing. And I love their new album, and the single that they got on the radio is just really, really good. It's another one of those bands I'm just really into right now.
Yeah, that's that Ladies and Gentlemen song was such a great song to start a show, but I mean to start the WWE WrestleMania. You got any funny stories about writing that song, or maybe Click Click Boom or anything?
Well, a funny story about Ladies and Gentlemen is we were going to film the video inside of a wrestling ring, and so we couldn't find any wrestlers in town that day, so we had to get boxers. So they were going to get a couple of women boxers to come out and do the boxing in the video. So we were like, that's cool, but we were like, you know, make them be like chicks with tattoos, and you know, so they called a couple of the Suicide Girls to come up and do the video. And I remember, you know, they were all cool and had, you know, tattoos all over their body and everything. And they were filming the fight scenes with the girls. And then we came out and did the band scenes. And then we went back to the dressing room. And when we were in the dressing room, I remember I heard this huge ruckus, and everybody started running towards the stage or towards the ring, and I was like, what's going on, what's happening? And I just sort of followed the crowd, and the two girls, I think one had accidentally clocked the other one in the jaw, and they actually got to fighting, dude, and it was a memory that I will never forget.
You got more than you paid for on that one.
Right. So if you're a fan of that song, go back and watch the video on YouTube, and you'll see the two girls going at it. There's no faking that. They really did not like each other very much.
Now I got to go watch that. So I've talked to Wayne about this before, but I mean, what the biggest tour you guys had, was it that Kiss tour, you think?
Yeah, Kiss Aerosmith, man, yeah. Was in 2003. I remember it was 2003. I always try to mark something with like a time stamp or time marker, and I remember that was around the time that Johnny Cash passed away.
Oh, yeah.
And we were playing Nashville with Kiss and Aerosmith that night, and I was so nervous, man. I was nervous as a cat at a dog show. And I got up on that stage, and I remember dedicating Rest in Pieces to the Cash family, and doing that song was just really emotional that night, because, you know, Johnny had just passed, and we were in Nash Vegas, as they call it.
Mm-hmm.
That was an amazing tour. I can't say it was an easy tour, because we had, you know, Steven Tyler and the Wings every night watching us, and it absolutely drove me crazy because I was like, what is he doing out here? Why is he watching us? It made me so nervous. I was terrified to go on stage in front of this man because he's like this, you know, this rock god, and I'm out there, you know, twisting around singing my songs. I'm like, who in the hell am I to this guy? And he stood there every night, and he watched Saliva open the show every single night. He was so supportive, man. Steven Tyler was so supportive. And Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons were so supportive of Saliva, man. Anything we needed, they got it for us. Anytime we needed, you know, support or, you know, food or water or anything, they were just so gracious and took care of us like we were their family when we were out there. It was really amazing.
Now, all these stories, I mean, these stories are unbelievable to listen to, you know, and how much of this did you miss on your, you know, the last 9 years?
I mean, to be honest with you, I missed it a lot. You know, there wasn't, I don't think there was a day that went by that I didn't think about it, you know, and think about it fondly, you know. I just had to, like I said, take some time to clean up my own side of the street and get myself healthy again and get focused on my children. And, you know, right after I came off the road and we had our daughter, Jordan, and then right back to back we had our daughter, Jolie. So I got two girls for the price of one. And so I've enjoyed every minute of getting to focus on them and getting to watch them grow up and getting to be, a real dad and go to like parent teacher conferences and getting to go to my daughter's basketball games this season and you know, getting to see my son is also a huge metal fan and wants to be a musician just like well, not just like his dad. He's pretty individualistic, but he's a huge Slipknot fan, and he is well on his way to being a true blue metalhead.
Isn't Dave Mustaine's son named Justice?
I think so. Yeah. Me and Dave Mustaine has so many
similarities.
So many weird similarities in our lives. It's crazy.
So let me ask you this. I'm a dad as well, and sometimes I'll throw around a little bit of my weight to, you know, so your kids can meet their favorite rock stars. You know, Brent and the guys from Shinedown have been so nice to me, and they've met my daughter, and you know, the things they say are just, I mean, it's just unbelievable how nice those guys are to me and my family and stuff. So how much of that do you push around to give your kids great experiences like that?
Oh, I definitely want to be the coolest dad ever,
right,
you know, to them. Because it, as you know, as being a father, it becomes harder and harder to be cool. To
impress
them.
Your kids, so yeah, exactly.
You only have a small window,
right,
that you get to be Superman. And after the, you know, 13, 14, 15, you begin to lose your luster with every month that goes by.
That is true. I got, and it's funny you say two for the price of one. I've got two, and let me tell you, it's two for the price of two as far as I'm concerned, because they both cost a lot of money.
Oh, no, yeah. You better believe it. That's another thing is I want to get back out there so I can make a little money and be able to afford these two girls.
How much of it do you want to get back on the tour, on the stage, so your kids can see what you do?
Well, you know, the Justice was a tiny little guy,
right,
by the time I left the band, and the girls have no clue. They they have no memory of me being in the band and being on stage. They watch the videos on YouTube, and they just kind of get this confusing look on their face. they think it's cool, but they don't quite understand why their dad is on stage with such a cool thing.
That is hysterical.
But I really can't wait to show them what Daddy does for a living, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, Josie, I could talk to you for about another 3 hours, but I know that you've been more than gracious with your time. Any other online rumors you want to squash? Tell fans really what to expect here in 2020. Maybe you can reiterate that out. Anything else you want to tell everybody?
Well, I just wanted to clarify a few things to the fans with talking to you today, and let the fans of Saliva know that I don't want to mislead them in any way. I wanted to respond to the reaction from the fans about the tour that Saliva is about to do, the new metal tour announcement that came out. I just wanted to let the fans of Saliva know that Josie Scott will not be, unfortunately, I will not be on that tour. But soon, it's going to be a minute until we can iron out some details. It sucks, but it's little things that have to be done. But it's all about the fans, and I just wanted to be completely authentic with the fans and let them know that I won't be on this tour for the rest of the year. I won't be out with Saliva, but soon and very soon I will be. I'll be coming back.
On a scale of 1 to 10, looking forward to hitting the stage, how much?
Oh, 11.
Yeah.
11.
Yeah. Well, listen, dude, it's super great to hear your voice, and thanks so much for talking to me today, and congratulations on your continued sobriety and the fact that you help so many other people. That's really noble cause, man.
My pleasure, man. Thank you for taking the time.
I mean, how cool is that interview right there? Josie's so candid, and I just wish the best for the guy. It seems like he's really in a good place right now, and I'm looking forward to seeing the original members back together. Wayne Sweeney, by the way, is so great. Bobby, Brad, all the guys in the band treat me so well, and I'm looking forward to seeing them coming up here in the spring. By the way, I did a link back to the interview I did with Bobby and Wayne from last year, so you can check that out if you're a Saliva fan and want to go back and hear what they had to say as well. In the meantime, we got to thank Josie for all the time today and straightening up all these misconceptions and possibly rumors and whatnot that you see all over the internet. Hey, if you like this podcast, give it a 5-star rating, share it with your friends, write a review on Apple and iTunes and all that kind of stuff. And like I said at the intro, I have so much stuff coming down the pike here in the next few days. Just subscribe, check back often, and I'll tell you this much. I've got Ivan Moody coming up from Five Finger Death Punch. Talk about a guy that's trying to beat sobriety. Tom Kiefer scheduled. We got Joe Satriani scheduled. I have a lot of stuff coming up here in the next couple of weeks, so hopefully you guys will check back and subscribe. In the meantime, thank you so much for listening to Talkin' Rock.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.